though, man. Cavs made an awesome run in the third quarter, and then Jason Tatum again. They're just relentless, man. They try to. Such a back-breaking team. He hits a three at the buzzer to end the quarter to push the lead back to five after the Cavs had cut it to two. Man. Well, still got a quarter to play. We'll see if the Cavs can rally and finish it off and get to 16-0. And we'll certainly react with you guys here on 92.3 The Fan. But in the meantime, I do want to welcome in, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, Daryl Ryder, our Browns insider. Daryl, do you think the streak ends tonight for the Cavs?
No, they're only down five, man. You're acting like Tatum's three put them down 15.
No, it's not that I... what I was saying in the first segment, though, was like the reason that this team gets comped to like the Golden State Warriors dynasty is because they're like when they're on and when they really want to play hard, because they do fall asleep at the wheel sometimes. It's like, man, like they break your spirit, right? Like they just you get it close and then they pull away again. So,
yeah, but you're within five. You got striking distance that can be made up in the span of 30 seconds.
No doubt. I am happy to see that they clawed their way back into this thing, and we'll see if they can keep it going.
Yeah, they were getting their doors blown off in the first half. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. But hey, we'll
I left the room. The TV's on in the other room, not on in this one, so I can give you my undivided attention. So I have no idea what's going on right now. Because I'll be honest with you, I would be distracted if I was sitting in front of a TV watching that game right now.
Well, let me ask you real quick, since we're on the subject of the Cavs. Listen, 15-0 deserves to be celebrated. But I think it's fair to say, like, this one, once they got to like 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, it felt like everybody was circling this one as like the real game to pay attention to for a multitude of reasons, but mostly right. Because everyone's measuring, you're getting measured against the Celtics. Like, that's just how it is. So does this game, like, if they pull this off, if they get this win, despite the 15-0 starts great, but does this one have a little bit more meaning than even the previous 15?
Yeah, I think so. And also, too, remember the Cavaliers are a little shorthanded tonight. You know,
yeah.
Four of their top rotational players are not available. So, but, you know, regardless of the outcome, I don't think that this game defines anything for either of these teams. I think the Cavaliers are a legitimate contender in the conference. I think that if there is a team to challenge Boston this year, it is the Cavaliers. And so... I will say this, though. If the Cavs don't win this game, you'll have the national media...
Jumping off the bandwagon.
Yeah, the bandwagoners that they are, right? I mean, no one loves a bandwagon more than the national media. They will be off the Cavaliers' bandwagon, and then the Cavs can just go back to doing what they've been doing, and that's just win games. And then they'll jump back on the bandwagon, and then if the Cavs hit a little pothole in the season, where they're off it again, and so if you ain't on it from day one, stay off it. That's simple.
I mean, I think you're right, though, because listen, the national media—they're trying to make stories out of every game and make it interesting and whatever.
These are the same, I almost said something else. These are the same people that tried to write and talk Donovan Mitchell out of Cleveland. So
yeah,
just perspective for folks.
It's nice to have this team in the national conversation without it just being about whether or not Donovan Mitchell is going to be back next year or a New York Knick. So I will say that. And that's why I do think like this game does come with a little bit more of a weight to it, because you win this game, you sort of stay in that conversation, and like nobody can, there's no, like, you have resounding respect from everybody, every corner of the NBA.
Yeah.
They basically have to respect the fact that you've done this. There's no, it's only November, like there's no questioning it anymore, and to have the national narrative stay sort of focused on the Cavs would be kind of cool. I don't know, Daryl, I think we like to say we don't care what the national media thinks, but then we also get mad when the NBA, they're not talking about the Cavs, or they're not putting the Cavs on national TV. So I know that it actually does matter to people.
Yeah, it does. And that's just not the Cavs. It's the Guardians. It's the Browns. Cleveland fans care. They might say they don't care, but they do care. And they especially care if the national media is dumping on any of their teams too. So that's when they really start to care.
Daryl, let's pivot to a much less exciting team.
A team worthy of dumping on?
That's a fair way to put it. Our Browns insider, Darryl Ryder, joining us on the show. I know the chatter has stirred up, speaking of the national media, about Kevin Stefanski's job security. Is there any reason to believe that he is actually coaching for his job on Thursday night?
No. I do not believe that Kevin Stefanski will be fired after this game. I'm not even convinced that he's going to be fired when the season's over. And I'm not convinced that he should be fired. I was having some fun with the morning guys on Monday morning. I do feel like that running it back and maintaining the status quo is probably the dumbest thing you can do if you're the Browns at this point, considering how broken everything is. But I don't hold Kevin Stefanski responsible for that. I kind of hold Andrew Berry responsible for that, since he's the one buying the groceries at this point, and a lot of those groceries have soured. I don't feel like that Stefanski's coaching for his job Thursday night. Not at all.
So along those lines, because you brought up Andrew Berry as well, I think it's safe to assume that by the end of the season, it's interesting because you did bring up like running it back, and I know that was something that Albert Breer talked about on the afternoon show today, the idea that maybe they get like a one-year mulligan and then all the pressure's kind of on next year. But yeah. I'm kind of under the impression that somebody is going to pay for this at the end of the season, one way or another. But
somebody needs to pay for this at the end of the season. I mean, this has been a disaster of epic proportions. It's been cataclysmic. This is a team that was supposed to compete for the Super Bowl this year. They can't score. The expansion Browns offense in 1999 ran better than this Ken Dorsey offense. Why Ken Dorsey still has a job is beyond me. He should have been fired weeks ago, and they should have gone back to Kevin Stefanski's offense from a year ago because they ran it back. Everyone knows the offense. Okay, maybe you have to teach Jerry Jeudy, but someone can sit down with him and teach it, and there you go. This has been a disaster. The money spent on this team, record amounts of money in the National Football League, most expensive team in history, and they can't score 20 points? Or they can't score. They can't handle assignments on both sides of the ball. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing on both sides of the ball. They don't tackle very well. A lot of players seem to run free against what was the number one defense a year ago. This is just a disaster. So just giving him a mulligan. Tough year, guys. Go get him next year. No. The reason you're in the spot you're in is because you brought in Deshaun Watson, because you brought in Juan Thornhill, because you drafted Jedrick Wills Jr., because you gave up a second-round pick for Elijah Moore. Like, those are all fireable offenses. So, you know, I like Andrew Berry personally, but just objectively, looking what he's done with this roster and what he inherited from John Dorsey, like, John Dorsey's the guy mostly responsible for this. Granted, you know, the Sashi Brown and them, you know, they did the Captain Obvious pick with taking Myles Garrett. But, like, you know, Dorsey's the one that really solidified this roster. And all Berry had to do was bring in some guys to take it over the finish line. And this franchise peaked in year one of Stefanski and Berry. They peaked. Yeah. It's been downhill ever since. You got a little blip last year, a little blip positively last year, but this is a disaster of epic proportions. And somebody and multiple people probably should be losing their jobs over this.
So that's a good way to sort of segue into what I was going to ask next, because if it's Andrew Berry, if Andrew Berry is the one who gets fired at the end of the season, and I think that's very much on the table as you kind of laid out there, I think it all makes sense.
Can we throw Paul DePodesta into that, too?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been some conversations had about him, too.
Yeah, let's get him the hell out of here, please.
But, Darryl,
either that or put him in the payroll department.
I guess my question is, like, does it make sense to fire one without the other? And what I mean by that is, like, does it make sense to fire Andrew Berry without firing Kevin Stefanski? Even if Kevin Stefanski isn't fully to blame, because as we know in this league, Darryl, like, continuity and guys being on the same page and one hiring the other, like, usually it's like a GM wants his own coach or a coach wants his own GM. That stuff matters so much. So I almost wonder, like, if you fire Andrew Berry, does that just set up Kevin Stefanski to be in a lame duck season next year anyway?
Well, here's the case. I can't make a case to keep Andrew Berry, okay? That's what this comes down to, right?
Yeah.
I have nothing to save Andrew Berry, right? But here's the case for Kevin Stefanski. He won with Baker Mayfield and made the playoffs. Case Keenum won a couple games for him. Jacoby Brissett won some games for him. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, P.J. Walker, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston. Like, he's had 10 different starting quarterbacks, okay? And he's won with everyone except for Jeff Driskel.
I was going to say, don't forget about Jeff Driskel.
And Nick Mullins, okay? But eight of the 10 quarterbacks have won a football game for him, right? And then you have, let's see here, I'm going to do the math. This is bad radio, but it is what it is. Mayfield, Keenum, Brissett, Watson have won multiple games for him. So, he's never had what he's wanted at the quarterback position. For the offense that he runs, the style of coach he is, he never had it. Baker Mayfield was not his quarterback, but he made it work, right? Deshaun Watson, I think that if you looked at Stefanski's system, Deshaun Watson is not a guy you're going to plop in the middle of his system, right? Now, a guy like Joe Flacco, a younger Joe Flacco, you know what I'm saying?
And, you know,
I think that a guy like Joe Flacco, that fits a Kevin Stefanski style offense. It's vertical. It's down the field. It's, you know, work off the play action, pound the football on the ground. You know what I mean? Like, that's, yeah. he's never gotten the missing piece to the puzzle. So that's why I think that you have to, you know, it's easy to say fire Kevin, but the groceries have been sour and he hasn't had the most important cog to the machine.
So real quick here to get us out on this conversation, Daryl, does that maybe pave the way if Andrew Berry gets fired, where Kevin Stefanski actually would maybe get more power in the organization with a chance to choose his next GM and choose his own quarterback?
No chance, because that's not how that organization operates.
That's what I was figuring you were going to say, but I just wanted to hear what your thought was on it. So
you needed to get me on the record. I respect that.
I held your feet to the fire, Daryl. I always appreciate the conversation, my friend. You have yourself a good night. Go watch the Cavs. Hopefully finish off a win here.
You bet, bub.
Thanks, Daryl. Yep, good stuff. Daryl Ryder, our Browns insider, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland Samir Jewelry Store. Cavs are keeping it close. They're within two. 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Can they pull it off? We'll talk about it. But when we get back, continuing the conversation we had with Daryl, if you get rid of one, what's the point of keeping the other? Do it next here on 92 The Fan.